Nandagopasutam priyam.
Nandagopasutam priyam.
Jani monga braja shlagyam. Deva sang sive pitaha. Manayam bhokitastvantu. Nandagopasutam priyam. Jani monga braja shlagyam. Deva sang sive pitaha. Manayam bhokitastvantu. Nandagopasutam priyam. Jani monga braja shlagyam. Deva sang sive pitaha. Ma, do not. Anayam, injustice. Boho, our dear Krishna. Kataha, do. Tvam, you. Tu, on the other hand. Nandagopa of Maharaj Nanda, Sutam, the son, Priyam, loved, Janimaha, we know, Anga, O dear one, Braja Shagyam, renowned throughout Braja. Dehi, please give. Vasangsi, our garments. Vepitaha, to us who are shivering. Translation, no purport. The gopis said, dear Krishna, don't be unfair. We know that you are the respectable son of Nanda, and that you are honored by everyone in Braja. You are also very dear to us. Please give us back our clothes. We are shivering in the cold water. Child abuse. Torturing them. And feeling great distress. But at the same time, actually, it's not really distress. This is the difference. Spiritual world, shivering is there. This is an ecstatic symptom. Of course, it seems to be here compared to the cold water, which we heard about yesterday. Very cold. And they're there a long time. You stay there for a few moments. But to stay there for a long time is another thing. And you really feel it. Because they were so absorbed in Krishna, that didn't really matter. They're just using this as another means to say, please Krishna. Bring pleasure to Krishna. There's no purport to this verse. His natural emotions, natural, speaks for itself. Now they're trying to use another technique to convince Krishna, or using a technique to convince Krishna, give us back our clothes, will you, and go away. So starting off just by reminding him of his position. You're supposed to be the respectable son of Nanda Maharaj. What type of behavior is this? Prabhupada will sometimes say that about devotees in our Krishna consciousness movement, that they have to, they represent, Srila Prabhupada, we represent the spiritual master, and we should behave in a way that, you know, it represents Prabhupada in a way that will be well received and respectable. When we behave, misbehavior, we shouldn't misbehave. The misbehavior of the representative or the son or the disciple reflect from the father or the spiritual master. So that they're using this argument to try to get through to this boy. This unpredictable, uncontrollable, ruly young man. But at the same time, they can't get him out of their hearts. He's very dear to them. It's like almost like a contradictory circumstance. In the next verse, Shamsundara te dasya karavama tavoritam deva samsi dharmanya no chedrage bruvame. O Shamsundara, we are your maidservants and must do whatever you say. But give us back our clothing. You know what the religious principles are. And if you don't give us our clothes, we will have to tell the king. Please. I guess Krishna like this. Contradictory. Caught. Their only real desire, of course, their prayers, we know. I mean, they've gone to the Chir Ghat for their reason for going there, to the bathing ghat there in the Chir Ghat. They've gone there for one reason, and that is to obtain this opportunity. Now they've got the opportunity, but nonetheless, they're almost like contradictory emotions or expressions, rather. All the emotions are full of conjugal love for Krishna. But they seem to be almost contradictory expressions. We are your maidservants and we'll do whatever you say. But just give us our clothes back, will you? Here's the way God did the words from it. Excuse me, Prabhu. Just do what I say, will you? Excuse me, Prabhu, my master. Just do what I say. We don't may say it, but we may think it. It's a contradictory expression. But all contradictions can be, let's say, imposed, can be, that word can be consolidated, resolved. In love for Krishna, what appears to be a contradiction is no longer contradiction. All the statements are just bringing pleasure to Krishna. He's getting so much pleasure out of this. He's really enjoying himself. Imagine how he feels. And the gopis are also enjoying themselves like anything. This is the difference. Everyone's enjoying themselves, even though the position seems to be rather embarrassing and unbecoming circumstances. This is the nature of pure devotional service. And of course, then they're using another technique here. They're threatening him. They're using, first of all, some kind of reason, and then they're using appeal, submission, and appeal, and now they're threatening. They're using different ways to try. Very quickly, they're throwing different points out very spontaneously. Spontaneous. It's not that I have to look it up in the book and think, what should I say next? I won't convince him. But they're coming, but these are like arrows of love. They're not like aimed at, with any negative. It's actually just what Krishna wants to hear. So we will have to tell the king. Means Nanda Maharaj, if you continue to behave like this, we're going to tell on you. You're going to be in trouble, boy. You're really going to be in trouble. This is disgusting. You're going to be the laughing stock of Braj. Krishna replied, if you girls are actually my maidservants, and if you really do what I say, then just come here with your innocent smiles and let each girl pick out her own clothes. If you don't do what I say, I won't give them back to you. And even if the king becomes angry, what can he do? Krishna was very bold. The girls were getting a bit worried. And when they saw that Krishna was strong and determined, they had no choice. They had no choice. They didn't want any choice, in one sense. Their only choice was what they were getting. The pure devotee gets exactly what he wants. Krishna is completely subservient. Whole pastime is described as being an example of Krishna's greatest quality. His greatest quality is that his only desire is to give the devotees exactly what they want. We may say, well, why doesn't he do that with me? Well, he is, but because we're still, you can say, not in a direct relationship, we're indirect. So indirectly, he's giving us what we want. In other words, he's removing the obstacles. So we can really, sometimes sing to the six Goswamis, Echai Gosai Kori Charana Vandanya Hoiti Vignanash Avishta Puran. Avishta Puran. Our real desires will be fulfilled. Vignanash. And their obstacles or that which is blocking our devotion, which is blocking the fulfillment of our real desire, is removed by the mercy of the six Goswamis. So the devotees, the Lord, they're all, it appears to us that maybe it's not the same. We may be shivering, because we can look at it that way, I suppose. The gopis are shivering, they're being put into a very embarrassing position. Krishna's just, you know, as they're twisting them around his little finger. And you can say, in a sense, yes, we're also shivering in this material world. And, you know, we're suffering. Why isn't Krishna giving me my clothes? Why isn't he giving me what I want? Why isn't he giving me that nice girlfriend or boyfriend or money or position or something really for distress? So on and so forth. If you don't do this, Krishna, I'm going to give you up. I'm going to become something else, a born again Christian. I don't believe in you anymore. It happens. But this isn't the mood of a devotee. Pure devotee. Maybe a neophyte. But a pure devotee, no matter what Krishna does, he never deviates from their love for Krishna. Whatever he does to them, Ashlishava Padaratang Vanashtamam Adashnamam Tangarotiva. You can crush me in your embrace or make me broken hearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything for you, always my worshipful Lord, and unconditionally. This is pure devotion without any. Savai pumsan parodama yato bhakti adhokshade ahoitiki patiyata yanatma supersedati ahoitiki apatiyata. It is unmotivated. Not if you give me this, then I serve you. No. Unmotivated, uninterrupted. Not the way, you know, it's mixed with, you know, time separation. It is constant. It is a constant feature. Pure devotion is a constant feature. So their love for him may be expressed in different ways, even sometimes in anger. Sometimes in anger, in Satyabhama. The Satyabhama is in the different gopis are in different moods. They express, because Krishna, all the different moods that we experience in this world are all found in Krishna. He's the part of it, the reservoir of all emotions. So the gopis are, more you can say, are expansions of his emotions enriched with love. And each moment gopi has different groups of gopis, and they have different moods, different combination of moods. So some of the gopis are very fiery and some of them are very submissive, and the two basic camps of gopis are Radharani's and Chandravali's. That are two. We don't hear much about Chandravali, do we? She's like a, you know, what would you say? Like a, what's the word? What can we say? An unknown factor in the whole program. Hidden. No doubt a very important part to play in the loving exchanges and expansions of different. But he's the submissive camp. They're the very subservient gopi camp. The Radharanis are the fiery camp. They get very angry sometimes. It's funny in conjugal love, although normally anger is not compatible with conjugal love in some ways. But we see oftentimes it is even expressed that it is a great reservoir of ecstasy in conjugal love. Sometimes out of intense love you express anger, but it's not anger with envy, it's anger. It's a different type of anger. Radharani becomes very angry with Krishna sometimes. She expresses anger in different ways. Sulking and even chiding him in many ways. Sometimes the gopis, they become, these gopis are very young, but sometimes they become very angry, and especially when they develop their more, this is the beginning, their brain to become the wise, and Krishna's fulfilling their desire. And when they get a little bit more familiar, it may not be the word, but when they a little bit more intimate in the relationship, and anger and other emotions. Spice the husband sometimes loves to see the wife get angry. Ladies, sometimes he enjoys it like anything. Because it's there in Krishna. He wanted to see Rukmini get angry, right? He did everything he could to get her angry. She couldn't get angry. Because that's not her mood. Rukmini's expansion of Chandravali. But Satyabhama, you don't have to do anything, she'll get angry if you look at her the wrong way. She'll throw a tantrum. She can't stand it when Krishna starts talking about the gopis. All the others, they can accept that, yes, all right, we understand. But no, Satyabhama, no. No way. She gets so envious. Angry. Express her anger in so many ways. But Krishna loves it. It's all because Krishna. It's not because she's not Krishna. Can't she completely? She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Go on. Sometimes Rukmini got angry. Once in a while, not very often. That's the whole pastime of Pandapur about Rukmini's becoming a little angry with Krishna. She doesn't express it directly, she just left. She went off to Pandapur. Try to forget Krishna. It's impossible. But she was trying her best to hide it. Now there's a purport. No, we've already read that purport. Next verse. Then, shivering from the painful cold, all the young girls rose up out of the water, covering their pubic area with their hands. My goodness, this is getting deep here. Coming out of the deep water into a deeper subject matter. Purport. The gopis had assured Krishna that they were his eternal servants and would do whatever he said, unless they were now defeated by their own words. Good way to think about it. They already confessed. They were caught. Krishna had captured them in the exchange of loving, in loving exchanges. They were happy to be caught by Krishna. A lover loves to be embraced in the arms of the beloved, despite sometimes the standoffish kind of behavior. It's actually all part of increasing the sweetness of embrace or coming together. If they delayed any longer, they thought, and this is another extraordinary thought is appearing here. These are all based on commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, mainly. They were thinking that some other man might come along. They're in the water, naked. And if they don't submit to Krishna, well, he might just, who knows what happens, he might get fed up with them or something. And some other man might come along and they might really be in trouble. Whatever that may be. They only wanted Krishna. It's an emotion of devotional service. Expressed by Bhishma Dev, love for Krishna means we have no other love for any other object other than Krishna. Rukmini expressed the same mood. When she was betrothed to Shishupal by her brother Rukmi, she was in total anxiety of the fear of having to associate with any other man other than Krishna. She was, of course, eternal consort of Krishna. But she had this, doing everything she could to avoid this circumstance. The story is there, the letter and everything. But this is the nature of a devotee. He doesn't want anyone else but Krishna. The only object of a devotee's life is to please Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, that is my pleasure. Doesn't matter whether I'm happy or distressed, and the only thing that counts is Krishna happy. This is love. They love Krishna so much that even in that awkward situation, their attachment to him was increasing more and more. Then here another emotions coming in, fear. They're afraid now that, you know, that they're not going to get the object of their life. Maybe somebody else will come along and steal them away. But they can never steal their heart. But still that emotion is there, that fear, which increases their, I don't know what to say because we don't know what is it, but it increases their love of Krishna more and more and more. Thus they did not even consider drowning themselves. Sometimes one may have thought like that. They didn't even consider that the fire of their love for Krishna was so great. They didn't even consider drowning themselves in the river because of the embarrassing situation. That would be an incompatible situation for conjugal love, wouldn't you say? They concluded that they could not do anything but go forward to their beloved Krishna, which is exactly what they wanted to do. Putting aside their embarrassment, they let go. They let go of any consideration of restriction. No inhibitions. This is impossible for materialistic people to understand in reality. But they let go of everything. They assured each other there was no alternative, and they rose up out of the water to meet him. And this is what happens when we let go of all inhibitions, of all identities with this body, that I am a man or woman, or I'm this or that, or I'm a Brahmana, or I'm something or another. Whatever it is, identification with Vanashram, with family, with body, with you name it. Just let go. Then we can rise up out of the water of this material world and go to Krishna. Narada Muni wanted to enter into these pastimes. Even Narada Muni, speak of us, where it states in the Nectar of Instruction, it is very difficult to enter into Radha Kund. It is not a body of water 200 feet by 200 feet or whatever it is in Vrindavan. It is a state of the deepest divine confidential love between Radha and Krishna. It is said that even Narada Muni is hankering. He can't enter in as Narada Muni. He can't enter into Radha Kund. What to speak of us? Prabhupada said, what to speak of ordinary devotees? What ability or qualification do we have? Still attached to the body, anyone? One or two? Yeah, so in the bodily condition of life, not even sure. There's some difference between me and my body. What are you talking about? I am the body, aren't I? This is me. We cannot enter into these pastimes with a material body. Now, Narada couldn't go in. He wanted to. He was eager when he heard Krishna had appeared in this world. He went to Vrindavan, looking around, searching, where is Radha and Krishna? Where are these pastimes? He couldn't see anything. He couldn't see a thing. He was, of course, a pure devotee, but he wasn't in the right mood. It's the mood, it's not the place. This is a mood. We have to have the right mood to understand or enter into these pastimes. And unfortunately, for Narada Muni, Vrindadevi met him. And she said, if you want to see these pastimes, you can't see them in your present body. They're confidential. You're thinking you're male. You cannot see. You have to have the mood of a gopi to enter into these pastimes. So, how can I do that? So she'd come with me. She took him to the northwest corner of Kusum Sarovar and popped him in the water. And he went into the water of Kusum Sarovar and out he came as a gopi. Naradi. Naradi gopi. I don't know if any devotee has that name, Naradi. The name of Narada Muni when he became a gopi. Naradi gopi. So he came as a gopi and he was able to sometime enter into that pastime, at least to witness those Rasa Leela pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, confidential pastimes, which come after this. This is the beginning of that. These gopis, these young girls, they all want that. They're all hankering for that opportunity to have that Rasa Leela pastime with Krishna. They only got it for one night. It was really, I mean, Krishna is so cruel. Yeah, they went through so much austerity, he embarrassed them to the hilt. Practically speaking, tortured them. And then he only gave them one night. And imagine, of course, there's a lot of... I mean, if you had 16,108 wives, each wife would get one night every 50 years, you know. So that wasn't too bad, I suppose. But that night was not an ordinary night. It was a night the length of Lord Brahma's night, only 4,320 million years long. It was a little quite long, inconceivable to us. This is Krishna's special pastimes, which cannot be understood unless we're willing to give up. So Narada Muni, he had that chance, and then of course they popped him in the water again and he became Narada Muni again at Narada Kund. And there he remains in Braj. Lakshmi Devi also wanted to enter into these pastimes, an expansion of the Srimati Radharani, but different mood. When Lord Chaitanya was in Sri Rangam, he was discussing with Venkata Bhat, the father of Gopal Bhat. Venkata Bhat was in the Aishwarya mood. He was worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. He also understood Radha Krishna to whatever degree he could. But when Lord Chaitanya came there, they had some long conversations and interesting discussions. Venkata Bhat was indeed a pure devotee of Lakshmi Narayan, and he wasn't in any way in any illusion, even in illusion about the position of Radha and Krishna in one sense. He couldn't experience it, he was in a different mood. But they were discussing about, Lord Chaitanya asked, how is it then that Lakshmi Devi was unable First of all, how is it that she approached Krishna? And he would argue that what's wrong with that? I mean, after all, Lakshmi Devi knows there's no difference between her worshipable Lord, Lord Narayan, and Lord Krishna. They're one and the same person. If Krishna has certain attributes that Lord Narayan doesn't, otherwise there's no real difference. Nothing wrong with that. Then why wasn't Lakshmi able to enter into the Rasa-Lila dance? He didn't know. Lord Chaitanya explained it because of the mood. She was unable to give up that body. Not body material. When we talk of spiritual body, one means a certain state of consciousness, certain mood, attitude. That has to be given up. It's not giving up the material body or the clothes of this body. It's giving up a particular identity. That's what has to be given up. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tatpadatvena nirmalam. One has to give up that upadhi, that identification with the, not just the material body, but the very identification with being anything other than the unalloyed eternal servant of the Lord, you can say. But even that, if one has to enter into the most confidential conjugal pastime between Radha and Krishna and the gopis, the young gopis, one has to give up all other moods. It's like Radharani, Mother Yasoda. She cannot enter into these pastimes. Mother Yasoda is the topmost pure devotee, you can say. What do you mean? No, because she has a different mood. These pastimes are unknown to her. When Krishna goes off, even with the coward boys into the forest, she cannot go. All the residents of Vrindavan become absolutely dumbstruck when Krishna goes off playing his flute into the forests of Vrindavan. For the whole day they're just suffering intense pain. But he comes back at night. They're just waiting for that moment. Mothers do that sometimes when their children go to school. They've got nothing better to do. They just sit around wondering, when is my darling son going to come home from school? Where is he? Is that him coming now? Is that him coming now? Is that his bicycle coming in? Is that him? Is that his footsteps? I think that's his footsteps. Yes, he's coming. Yes, he's coming. And if he doesn't come on time, where is he? Where is he? Where's my son? Get the phone. He's not home yet. Where do you think he is? If he's not home after 10 minutes, please. My son's not home yet. And there's so much anxiety. Staying out late, you know. Where is he? They go on a search party looking for him. The material is a little bit like that sometimes. Everyone in Vrindavan is like that. But there's nothing they can do. They can just simply cry and suffer in absence of Krishna. How cruel that boy is. But that suffering is their greatest, for a devotee, is the greatest happiness. We cannot compare it to the material. Although that suffering in the material would increase, they say, when a hungry man, when you're very hungry, that hunger increases the sweetness of the taste of the food when you get it. When you break your fast, you really feel, wow. Sometimes you're even looking forward to it. Some of them purposely fast. I know some devotees who purposely fast to get the extra special pleasure of breaking the fast. Okay. If you eat like 6 times a day, there's not much in it, you know. It's like pretty boring almost, you know. It's just filling up the belly and filling up the time. Just hope against hope, you know. But if you don't have it, it's like sex or anything. If you don't have it for a long time and you have it, it's like, wow, it's like a really big, you know, thing. Anything is like that. Food. We shouldn't do that. We should try to imitate that. This is not that they're doing this purposely. This is just a part of the churning of the ocean of nectaring, loving exchanges. It's spontaneous. We shouldn't artificially imitate that. But sometimes it happens, especially after a Kadashi. If you've done a whole day fast, you know, you've got all your favorite foods lined up at 6:32.45 seconds in the morning, and suddenly you disappear in the japa program, and upstairs with your pizza and your cheese sandwiches and whatever else you like, you know. You know, it's like, wow. Not quite like that. When there's Lakshmi Devi, she couldn't give up. She also resides on the other side, was it Bilvan? On the other side of the Jamuna, she can't come. She can't come further. Because she can't give up that. Even though she wants, she's not willing to give up that identity or that mood of reverence. There is no place for reverence or rules and regulations in love of this sort. There's no room for it. That's why no one else can enter into these pastimes. Even the mood of Mother Yasoda, the coward boys, few of the coward boys, they have a little bit of that conjugal touch. That's their purpose, to increase the excitement of this mood. But in general, they cannot enter in. No one can enter in. Only these devotees, even the gopis who are not ready, they are also prevented from entering into the rasa dance, or the wives of the brahmins were prevented to go and be with Krishna. They still have a mood, some mood may be there, but they're burning a desire to go and be with Krishna burns up any last remnant of anything but that, any identity with their family, their children, or anything else that may be there in some form, cleans it away. So this is the Sangatan mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that mood of the gopis of Vrindavan is expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Krishna was in Dwarka. Narada Muni was also involved there, and he came there in distress, but Krishna had just been with Rukmini, and Rukmini was... Krishna came with Satyabhama. And he came from Satyabhama's palace to Rukmini's, and Rukmini was crying. And he said, "My beloved," he sat on her lap, and "My beloved, why are you crying?" And she said, she didn't say anything, he said, "Is it because, you know, I've been to Satyabhama, that, you know, you're feeling my separation, you're feeling unhappy because I took my affection this way and that, but you should rest assured, you are my favorite queen, without a doubt. Don't doubt it." She's still with him. "Is it because I spoke some harsh words to you that time when I tried to rebuke you and told you to go away and get a decent husband?" Shishupal is still very eager for you. You can go off. He's waiting. "Is it because of that?" "No." "What is the reason?" He said, "You cannot understand, my lord." "What do you mean?" "I cannot understand. I'm God." He said, "How can I not understand anything? How can God not understand anything?" He didn't say God, but how could Krishna not understand anything? "We can understand. We hardly understand anything, but how can God not understand anything?" It just seems to be a contradiction. So she said, "No, my lord, you can't understand. Tell me, what is it that you're talking about? I've never heard anyone say this to me before. Explain." "You do not know what it is like. How much your devotees have love and attachment for your lotus feet. This you do not know, and you do not know what they feel like when they have separation from your lotus feet. You cannot experience this. This emotion you cannot understand, of what it is like to be bereft of your lotus feet." She was placing those lotus feet on her breast. "But I am crying because I know very soon you're going to go away. And the feeling of what it's like to be without your lotus feet, you cannot understand." Lord was astonished. He was completely astonished. How could he so much wanted to experience this? Something he never experienced, he suddenly realized was much higher and greater than anything he ever experienced. So how can I experience this? Only if you assume the mood of Radharani. Only Radharani and myself can understand what it's like. Chandravali and Radharani, only we can understand what is this mood, what is this emotion. Because only we experience it. So that's why the Lord then assumed before no Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience that separation, mood of separation from Krishna. That's his sannyas ashram in Jagannath Puri, in that intense mood of separation from Krishna, which these young gopis are also fearing here, that if we don't throw our arms up, they're going to throw their arms up, we'll leave that till tomorrow. If they don't surrender everything, Bhagavad Gita, you know, Sarvadhamam Pratyabhya Mamikam Sharanam Braj. Surrender everything, give up every identification, abandon all other identifications of being a pious person. Yudhisthira couldn't give up that designation of being Dharmaraj. Like what Prabhupada said, he wasn't a pure devotee like Arjuna. Arjuna was willing, although he was showing a bit of objection in the beginning, he gave up his personal identifications and surrendered to Krishna. It takes time. It takes time, obviously. That's why that verse is at the end of the Gita, not at the beginning. You have to go through the various Vaidhi, as long as one's on the, like Prabhupada says. I'm going to leave that for Sunday. Tomorrow's Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj's appearance day is a wonderful conversation, or let's say pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is akin to this particular pastime, which we're hearing here in, with Krishna and the gopis and stealing their clothes. So we'll leave that till Sunday, if Krishna wills. Tomorrow's Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj's appearance day. I guess there's a program tomorrow. Is there any program?
Yes.
What is the program?
Midday program in here. Midday, if we have Pushpanjali.
Pushpanji at 12 o'clock, midday?
Yeah.
And then?
A lecture as well. Like
there's some program at lunchtime?
There's a bit of a feast.
There's something tomorrow. We're fasting tomorrow, is that correct?
After.
Fasting until noon tomorrow. And then there's Pushpanjali and like that. Some program will be there, some bit of a feast. There's a program in the afternoon too, right?
Yes, Saturday feast.
Or something. Big day. Tomorrow will be dedicated to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. I'll just read one thing or two things here. Please read Nectar of Devotion. This is our Bible, Prabhupada one time said. Our Bible. Never be without our Bible if we're good Krishnans. We have to be a good Krishnan. A born again Krishnan. Not born again Krishnan. Or whatever. Real birth. It's like you dip in that ocean, as Narada Muni dipped into Kusum Sarova. We have to dip in the ocean of Sangatan. And we can develop the right mood to enter into the pastimes, which whatever we want, Krishna will reciprocate. This is that Kusum Sarova, the Sankirtan Yajna. Lord Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu has let these waters into the universe, the waters of Sankirtan praying. We just have to immerse ourselves in those waters up to our necks. And then we can come out and get our real clothes back. Not the clothes of this material world. Their spiritual body. We have to be willing to give up this material body if we want a spiritual body. Not physically. Giving up the material body doesn't mean, you know, we want to end this life. That's not the idea. It is to give up this false identity with it. And this identification with it. And identify ourselves in relationship with Krishna. I just finished with a little interesting statements of Prabhupada from Nectar of Devotion. spontaneous love of Krishna. This is, here we can say, this is, of course, spontaneous love is prevalent at all stages when one comes to that Raghunuga platform, but it's a prelude, a stage which leads one to qualification to enter into the pastimes of Vrindavan. Spontaneous love of Krishna, as exhibited by the Vrishnis and the residents of Dwarka, also had spontaneous love of Krishna. They weren't in the same mood, of course, as the gopis of Vrindavan or the parental love of Vrindavan, but it was still nonetheless spontaneous attraction, even though it was mixed with a little reverence. It was still spontaneous. So Raghunuga is eternally existing in them. That's the Vrishnis and the denizens of Vrindavan. In the stage of devotional service, where regulated principles, this is the sadhana vaidhi, sadhana bhakti stage, where we're still depending upon regulated principles to control our mind and senses and engage our identities in the proper way in relation with Krishna. There is no necessity of discussing this love, for it must develop of itself at a more advanced stage. As long as we're dependent upon anything of this world, or upon rules and regulations to protect us, etc., this is not accessible to us in reality. Persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord, this is the process. You know, we hear these pastimes which Prabhupada has given us to hear, but to actually enter into them or to follow in the footsteps of these personalities, one has to have a certain qualification. Otherwise one will definitely fall down. You don't have the capacity, you will fall down. These Raghunuga devotees, they are called Ragatmaka, which means that they are trying to attain to the perfection. A person's desire to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord and the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens, those who are trying to follow Raga Anuga, following the mood or the Raga Anuga, following in the mood of those personalities. Therefore, those who are following are called the Raghunugas. Though they're trying to follow the Ragatmakas, those who are permanently situated in that mood, fixed in that mood. They don't need to follow regulated principles of devotional service very strictly. Not necessary. See, these pastimes, like the stealing of the garments of the gopis, no one had access to see it anyway. No one else would have been able to see it. Like Narada Muni would not have been able to see it. Only persons who are in that mood can experience it. You always try to put material considerations onto these things. And, well, that was in Chirgat, and just up the road in Nandigat or Ramgat. You know, maybe they could. No, it's not like that. These are going on a totally different plane. The planes are, you can't get there. They may be like this, but you can't get there. You're on a different plane, on a different floor. Like in a tall building or something. On a different floor, you can't see what's going on up and down. You see this way and that. The Raghunuga devotees do not follow the regulated principles of devotional service strictly, but by spontaneous nature they become attracted to some of the eternal devotees such as Nanda or Yasoda, and they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. There is a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raghunuga. In other words, you gradually develop the mood of that devotee. We must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Vrindavan is not possible unless one is freed from all material contaminations. In following the regulated principles of devotional service, there is a stage called anatta nivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes someone is found imitating such devotional love, But factually, he is not freed from anarthas or unwanted habits. They sometimes manifest even some call it ecstatic symptoms. But such manifestation of divine love is mere imitation and has no value. When one is spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there will be found no trace whatsoever of any mundane contamination in his character. Therefore, in the beginning, everyone should strictly follow the regulated principles of devotional service. These are the regulated principles of freedom. According to the injunctions of the scriptures and the spiritual master. Only after the stage of liberation from material contamination can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees in Vrindavan. The Prabhupada said this develops, this spontaneous nature. Sometimes we want to learn, as if we can learn it. It's not something we can hear about it. We can't learn it. It's not like a mundane topic. It's something which develops automatically in course of time by the mercy of Krishna, by sincerely practicing under the shelter of a ragatmaka. We're all under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, who is an eternal resident of Vrindavan. By serving under his shelter and faithfully, that everything will be revealed in the course of time by the mercy of Guru and Guranga. Okay, we'll finish there. And Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Give me an example that sometimes a husband likes to enjoy seeing his wife get angry, and not like Krishna was enjoying seeing the gopis or the queens get angry. So there's some instances of vice versa where
the wife should get angry to make the husband happy.
The gopis enjoy seeing Krishna get angry?
Do the gopis enjoy seeing Krishna getting angry? Do they enjoy it? It evokes, what is enjoyment in this world, enjoyment in the spiritual world, not quite the same in one sense. It evokes, just like Satyabhama, who is notorious for becoming angry very easily, very fiery, or Radharani, and fiery. So then, there's a story there in the Bhagavatamrita village when Satyabhama became very angry at Krishna, and she just went off, even though all the other gopis were so, all the other queens were submissive. She didn't submit. And because Krishna said, even to me, he said, I can give you up, but I can never give the gopis up. If they really call me there right now, I'm going to leave you all and go there. So Satyabhama got rather angry. She kind of split. But Krishna sent devotees to bring her back. So she became very, then she got very disturbed. At first she was very angry. Then the emotion came in of fear of she wouldn't get Krishna. So then Krishna called her back, and she was very, very, she was hiding, in fact. She was very afraid that she'd, because she could see Krishna was a little angry at her about her behavior. So then she became very, very affected in a different way. Krishna's anger then creates another emotion in the gopis, which increases their love for him even more, but in a different mood. Whatever it is, it just increases the loving exchanges between them. Sometimes they get angry at each other for a while, whatever it may be. But whatever it is, it always increases their love for Krishna. So enjoyment means slightly different. It's just not quite the same. Our enjoyment means I am enjoying at all costs, and the other person is the object of my enjoyment, etc. In the spiritual realm, it's to see the other person happy. One's enjoyment is only the pleasure of the beloved. It's not really a question of the words used, that Krishna feels great pleasure, but then the gopis feel greater pleasure when they see Krishna feeling greater pleasure. So if Krishna's feeling pleasure like that, then their pleasure will be increased, and then Krishna's pleasure increases. It's just of a different nature, spiritual, ever increasing. All these emotions are just like in a drama. Ever you study the science of dramatical presentation, all these various emotions have to be expertly presented to evoke the mood. It's not just a question of putting on a drama and story or something, but it's the mood which is there, which entices the lover or entices the other person to behave in such a way which... So you can say in that sense, yes, Krishna's anger, when Krishna shows any anger towards the gopis, then although it appears that they become maybe otherwise, but it's actually increasing their love for him, increasing their attachment for him, increasing their absorption in him. Everything in the relationship with the pure devotees and Krishna is all favorable. It increases their depth of their pastimes. I thought you were going to ask, if should the wife therefore become purposely angry at the husband to make him happy? No, it's not quite like that either. Krishna does that. Well, we shouldn't imitate that. Krishna does that. What can we say? We cannot speak their minds. We're just struggling with their senses, struggling to try to control our anger. It's spontaneous. Anger is mentioned here. It's spontaneous. It's not like, you know, it's a spontaneous loving emotion. As we heard the other day, how sometimes the lover bites the beloved. And normally that would not be a sign of love when you bite somebody. Maybe you love gulabs, so you bite a gulabjaman. But that's slightly different. You don't usually bite somebody you love. But between conjugal lovers that happens. Or between the baby and the mother, sometimes the baby bites the mother. Generally speaking, it's not because the baby doesn't like the mother. It's another mood. And amongst lovers, some blood sometimes comes in so many things. Love. We can't understand it unless you're in that mood. These things are difficult to really understand. You have to develop the mood. Lord Brahma couldn't understand. Narada Muni couldn't understand. The residents of Vaikuntha can't understand. Queens of Dwarka, they're not in the same mood either. Very hard to understand. Hare Krishna, keep chanting Hare Krishna. We just try to emerge ourselves, or immerse, as they were immersed in the Jamuna. We should try to immerse ourselves in that river of Sankirtan, which flows to the lotus feet of Krishna, from the lotus feet and to the lotus feet. That great ocean. Anandam Buddhi Varanam. Great ocean of nectar. Immerse ourselves, drown ourselves in that. That we can do. If we drown ourselves in that, we might come out as a gopi or gopro or something on the other side of it. That's the idea. We have to immerse ourselves fully. Not just a toe in there now and again. We put one toe in every Saturday or Sunday and quickly pull it out again. We have to immerse our very existence into the mood of Sankirtan. That will burn out all the coverings, all the falsities, etc., whatever they are.
all the anartas.
Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gopri Nandi Ki Bo. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Is there a Harinam tonight or not?
Harinam tonight, 7 o'clock.
There is a Harinam.
7 o'clock meeting.
Meeting in front of Gopal. I will if I can to see him. I'll get everything else done before the evening's up.